The Academy Awards are just over a week away. One of the nominees is the documentary Last Men in Aleppo, the first Syrian film to be nominated for an Oscar. It documents a year in the life of a rebel outpost in the Syrian city of Aleppo. There's no narration. Rather, our guides are Khalid and Mahmoud. They're volunteer emergency responders, white helmets. They spend their days racing to the site of the latest Russian or Syrian government bombing, then digging out survivors and dead bodies from under fallen buildings. Before Syria's popular uprising and the severe government response that followed, Khalid and Mahmoud led different lives. Filmmaker Firas Fayad describes them.
Khalid, he's from a well-educated family, grew up in Aleppo, and he dreamed to be a firefighter because his uncle was a firefighter.
Watching the documentary, you lose track of how many dead and injured people, dead and injured children, Khalid encounters, all while worrying about the safety of his own young daughters, who are there in Aleppo because he has chosen to stay. Then there's Mahmoud.
Mahmoud is a philosophy student. He was like sieged with the books, the philosophy books about the meaning of the life and why we have to fight for the life and the hope and the meaning of humanity. And then one of the accidents that happened in front of him in Aleppo, there's a child burning in the car because the bomb, and it's just stuck in his memory, and that motivated him to volunteer in the white helmets.
Firas Fayad's camera captures every detail of Khalid and Mahmoud's lives under siege. I wanted to understand how Fayad got such extraordinary access to the men he filmed, and I asked him, is he himself from Aleppo?
Yes. Yeah, I grew up in the countryside of Aleppo, and Aleppo, it's my city where I know every single street and every single store. Yeah.
What was that like, filming your own city as it was being destroyed?
It's very painful in one level, but in other level, it's put me in the position of responsibility and telling the story. It's not just telling the story as interesting in the subject or the moment of telling the story, but it's about this is a story could make the history. This is a story could be writing the history and save the evidence for what's happened in this period of time in our human history.
I want to ask about a choice you made in how you told this story. There is a lot of repetition in this film, and I mean that in a good way, but your characters wake up and scan the sky for bombers, and then they race to where the bombs are falling and they start to dig through the rubble. And we see that in different parts of the city over and over and over, these same scenes. Was that deliberate?
Yeah, because I try to tell the story as a nightmare for these people, like sleeping, waking up, seeing the same things, and there is no solution. And they try different ways to face that. And I try to bring the camera as their eyes to witness what they saw in the ugly side and the beauty side. But watching the beauty side, it's kind of discovering through the eyes of the character what's make them stay, from where they get their inspiration to resistance, and they stay in this city.
That question of whether to stay, that is one that they wrestle with throughout this film. This question, do you stay in your city, or do you try to flee to safety and bring your families and their children to safety? Why did they stay?
Yeah, actually, it's like a philosophy question, a big philosophy question for all of us when we face a lot of pressure from our governments, from the war, from anything. We find ourselves like under pressure to leave. But there is something in the human star to make them resist this decision of leaving. And this is a story. It's about the common inner conflict between your personal survive and what you can do for your community through what you have. They stay because they feel that what they can do, it's make a sense. They save almost 100,000 of civilians. Just imagine if these people left behind them their city. There is 100,000 of civilians will be...
Wouldn't have survived, yeah.
Yes, will not survived, yeah.
The film opens with the white helmets racing out to dig through rubble and try to help people. They pull a dead baby out of the rubble. You show that. Why? I mean, how did you decide what to include in that shot?
Well, when I was, I decided like to choose a style that give all the space for the character, because I feel the character should lead the story. So I try like to make the camera, it's discovering what this is and put the audience in experience what's coming through this eyes of the character, discovering the worst of the war and the beauty of the war, and understand their dilemma and understand their resistance for the worst side of the war through what they face and through what they saw from the dead bodies and from how they digging and rescue the children that you saw them like survive and alive. I will feel like happy as you are there, and you feel sad as you are there.
The one of your central characters, Khaled, dies. Do you know what happened to his family? Are they still in Aleppo?
No, is Aleppo is fall down, and that's controlled by Assad and Russians and the allies.
Bashar al-Assad, the Syrian leader.
Yeah, the Bashar al-Assad of the Syrian leader and his allies. And his family is, after he's killed his wife with his two daughters, they moved outside of Aleppo to other part from Syria, and hopefully they are safe. There's no real safe place in Syria, but there's a place Lee's dangerous than the others, and the wife of Khaled, she was like pregnant, and she get a baby, and she called it Khaled also.
Oh, that's a lovely gesture.
Yes.
Firas Fayad, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me here.
That's Firas Fayad, director of the documentary Last Men in Aleppo, which you can find on Netflix. It's the first Syrian film to be nominated for an Oscar. And here's one more plot twist. While Firas Fayad has made it to California for the Academy Awards ceremony on March 4th, his producer and his assistant director have not. They were told their U.S. visa applications were denied under President Trump's restrictions on travelers from Syria and other countries.